mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 373. I'm Adam and I've been so harassed that I haven't been bothered to find a suitable quote. And here's Mary Lang.
What's so special about eeny, meeny, miny, mo?
And Andy Nunny.
Nobody knows who's who around here.
And we've got Debbie Melrose with computer problems and Kirby Bartlett Sloan saying, damn Microsoft. So I presume from that he's got computer problems as well. So, yes, we don't quite know what's going to happen with them two, but hopefully at some point during the proceedings they might actually be able to join us. Andy, you haven't been on the show for a bit, have you been skiving off?
No, you're right, I haven't been. I've been missing a few, but away it goes. But I'm still around, I'm here now.
Kirby just posted something. I better check my phone and see what he says.
I'm trying to get Skype on a different device as well, he says.
Good grief. Well, we'll keep it going. Anyway, this week, listeners, we're going to be, and viewers, going to be looking at The Android Invasion. And it's a title of Doctor Who story which does actually have the word the in it, just to beat any possible confusion on that thing. Right, did everybody get a chance to watch it?
Mm-hmm.
Goody-goody.
Yes.
Yes, certainly did.
All right.
Are you going to go live on Facebook?
I am live on Facebook.
Oh, there you are. I had to refresh my page.
Right, so episode one. Right, this episode begins with... well, I'm not going to talk about the title sequence. That appears on the thing every week. And the exciting thing about this, of course, it says The Android Invasion by Terry Nation. It's so nice to finally, once obviously we haven't had a non-Dalek Terry Nation story since, and a very appalling story, so you lot say, during the Hartnell era.
What a surprise, because we expect at the end of this first episode, you know, to have a Dalek, you know, rise out of the river or out of the sand or something.
Were you expecting that when you saw Terry Nation's name in the title?
I did. Oh, I fully expected this to be a Dalek story.
So anyway, this sort of unit soldier's twitching and having some sort of convulsion and sort of almost like a seizure, and he's walking along slightly weird. The TARDIS arrives and the Doctor looks like a new jacket. Is drinking some beer, it looks like beer anyway, from a very old Victorian style bottle. It might not be beer. Hang on, I've just had a message come through.
Yes, he's going on phone now, Kirby is.
Kirby's on phone, is he?
He's trying to, yeah. His tablet and his computer won't work for him, so that's what he's trying.
It's going to end up being the 20 megabyte Can Kirby and Debbie Join the Show podcast.
Yes.
Now, if I had any Skype credit, I could phone Debbie, actually, but I haven't got any Skype credit, so I won't. Right, and yeah, so the Doctor and Sarah enjoying...
Do you want to say hello,
Dawn?
Say hello.
Hi, everyone.
Ah, lovely Dawn. Hello, lovely Dawn.
Hello, Dawn.
Hi, she'll say, yeah. Yeah, Zach's in bed, so, yeah.
What did he do wrong?
Nothing, he's just been tired. Built a snowman again today.
Ah, excellent.
There's a little video on Facebook of him building of him with the snowman. He really loved it.
Did you ask him first if he wanted to build a snowman?
Yes, he does. He likes snowmen.
So you asked him first, did you?
Sort of, yes.
So you went, do you want to build a snowman?
Yes, he did. He got his welly, got his red wellies on and put them on and held his feet up to put his wellies on. He really enjoyed it.
Oh, so I think that particular Disney tune would have been more beneficial for Kirby's ears, but never mind. Right then, back to the episode. Yeah, so Sarah and the Doctor sort of go off exploring while the twitchy soldier sort of carries on
He gets more twitchy as he goes along, doesn't he?
He does.
Because when they first see him, he's just walking sort of fairly straight with the odd sort of twinge. But then towards the end, he really is, you know, he's having a full... a full fit thing, isn't he?
He is indeed. And then a load of what looked like spacemen turn up and start shooting the Doctor with their fingers. Now, I thought when I probably originally watched this, these were Autons, because that's pretty much, although the Autons obviously had flippy down hands and shot them that way. This is actually, even though they look clearly like plastic fingers, it was actually quite cool, the fact that they were using their fingers to actually shoot.
I was thinking of Ambassadors of Death.
Yeah, but they didn't use fingers to shoot, I don't think. They used their touch to kill people, didn't they? With, I don't know, some massive surge of radiation or something, I suppose. Anyway, so the Doctor and Sarah carry on going through the woods, and then Sarah falls down the worst-looking cliff ever.
the slope of moderate inconvenience.
Yes. Anybody could have climbed up there, but she sort of needs the help of the doctor to be hoiked back up again. Just as the unit soldier throws himself off the same cliff and kills himself, essentially. At this point, though, the doctor doesn't sort of notice that it's not a person straight away. And also, unlike when Sarah falls off later on in the story, his face doesn't fall off.
And in fact, yes, I noticed that. That was
And also, there's a bit of blood on his face, I think, as well, which was, you wouldn't get from an android. But the doctor does notice that there's a strange-looking black pod thing with a tyre lying next to it nearby.
Kirby says to call him.
Can somebody just for a laugh message back, no? We've started now. You're late.
Well, you're not Debbie Harry anyway, are you?
And Debbie, I'm not what?
You aren't Debbie Harry.
Debbie Harry. Oh, for goodness sake!
Call me. My life.
Shut up.
All right.
I suppose I better, aren't I? Good grief. Makes fascinating viewing for the public. Me faffing around trying to get incumbents to join the show. Here we go. He's been called. Usually when I call him, though, it doesn't work and he has to call me back. He's certainly not answering. I'll have a sip of orange squash while we're waiting. Right, and he's still not answering, so I'll carry on. Anyway, right, let's say. So the doctor and Sarah have start getting shot at by these finger shooters. So they leg it again. Sorry, did someone say something? Oh, is that Kirby?
Hang on, I'm trying to figure out what's going on here.
Well, we're doing a podcast.
It's got working on my computer, but I had a friend call me that I hadn't talked to in ages.
Yes.
And this is my Reese excuse, and I was trying to get off the phone so I could get everything set up, and I lost track of time.
Okay, well, it's no time for excuses. Good grief.
Why can't I hear you?
Oh, I didn't realize you couldn't hear me. That's why I was just agreeing with you. But maybe.
No, I can hear you, but it's not coming through the speaker for some reason.
Well, if you can hear me, sure, that's fine, as long as you can hear me.
Yeah. There, okay.
What?
Now, my mic. Oh, now Windows is working, damn it.
Oh, good Lord. Right, anyway, back to the episode. Do you want an introduction, Kirby, or are you just going to talk about technical issues?
Hang on.
Oh, God. What did you ask? Hey?
Okay.
What?
What did you ask?
I said, do you want to be introduced, or shall we just carry on with where we got to in the episode?
Oh, and deprive him of putting a quote out there?
That's what I'm saying. Is he there? Hello, Kirby. Yeah. So is that a yes you want to be introduced?
Hang on, people.
Oh, dear. It's getting a bit ratty, everybody.
I'm having technical issues.
Are you? Goodness me.
Oh, is Cher back?
Oh, have we started?
Yes!
Ages ago.
It wasn't ages. I guess so.
No. I guess it was ages ago, yes.
I don't even know what time
it is. We're almost done with episode one.
No, shush,
Mary. Mary, we could have said we're almost done with episode four, which is where we normally would be under these
Resistance
circumstances.
Resistance is inadvisable.
You lost the quote. You lost the quiz, by the way, Kirby.
Resistance is inadvisable.
Yes, I'm sure it is. But anyway, let's get on with the story. Right, so
watch the bramble.
Okay, thank you, Kirby. Right.
Let me try something here. Hang on.
Good grief.
Okay, there we go.
Ooh, it's a strange,
you sound awful, Kirby.
It's a sound, strange sort of echo.
Now, let me see what I can do here.
Ooh. It's like the time vortex.
Echo. That's a good echo, that is.
Right, I reckon he's fiddling with stuff at the moment. No, let's see if anybody's actually come through on the Facebook feed. All right, then, we've got...
Resistance is inadvisable. Get a Mac.
This has nothing... Yes, this is probably because of Microsoft.
Yes, it is.
I am now on Skype on my computer after 25 minutes of frustration.
Hey, right. Ian Kirk says British Thomas summertime begins next Sunday. Laura Nick says, "Is that finger loaded?" And then she puts on a little emoji with sunglasses, a smiley face. And Ian Kirk says his script for The forthcoming feedback is available to read if you so wish to. I'm going to get
Please
on
with... Excuse me?
What?
Could you be very kind and tell me where we are?
Well, I'm in Guildford. Adam's on the Isle of Wight. I'm not sure where you are, though.
Anyway.
Let's try the pub.
Anyway, back
is that
to
finger loaded?
Shut up. Right then. Anyway, so the Doctor and Sarah arrive in the village, and they're still being chased
you
by these...
You are number six.
Shut up. At the pub, which obviously if I'd done a quiz this week that I would have asked you what's the name of the pub, and it's the Moorland. But
no, it's
done...
not. It's the Fleur de Lis. The Moorland is the brewery.
Oh, there we go. That was a test. I was just testing.
And Master?
Yeah.
That's also the real name of the real pub in the real town that they went to. It's one of the very few times that they did not rename the pub.
What's the name?
Where's the name of the town, Kirby? What's
on second?
What?
No, what? What's the,
hang
what's
on, I'll get
oh
it for you.
Oh, God.
It's probably fairly close to me. I just wonder, it might be... Moorland.
Yes, it's East Hagborn.
Hurrah.
In Oxfordshire.
Oh, yeah, because that's a local brewery to where I live, so it's actually probably not that far away, so I can probably go there.
Yeah, but the weather was much nicer in those days. Moving on, so the doctor and Sarah said it right. Well, go into the pub. Of course, the interior of the BBC version of the pub is nothing like the interior of the real pub. And the doctor starts nicking stuff out of the till. Brand new money, of course.
No, he doesn't actually pick it up. He opened the till.
Where's his place to open the till of a business?
I didn't get to make any comments about anything up to this point.
Oh, dear. I've suddenly realised after watching The Big Bang Theory that Kirby is Sheldon of our podcast. So I'd just like to point that out.
Oh, good. You haven't gotten to one of the points I needed to make.
What?
I've got the DVD running, and I see that you haven't gotten to one of the things I need to point out.
That's a good thing. Well, I don't think it is. Anyway, so the Doctor and Sarah start poking around the pub, and then the dead soldier is back alive again, while all the sort of strange sort of spacemen-type creatures arrive at the pub with a van full of... Eh?
Just to deprive him of his moment, you just say, okay, end of episode one, end of two.
Master? Isn't it fascinating that they managed to keep that cigarette or whatever it is smoke burning there in the ashtray before anyone arrives?
Maybe so. Wibbly wobbly tummy wimey. Anyway, so a load of sort of what obviously we now know to be androids turn up to sort of...
Yeah, it's called the Android Invasion.
Populate the pub. And they're given a top... What?
Hey, I've been deprived of my being able to make comments.
No, you're not.
No, you've been making comments constantly since you got on.
Of the androids getting down off of the lorry, the farmer guy...
Yeah,
he's got the white mustache.
Yes.
You notice in the outside views, he's tucked his lunchbox up underneath his jumper.
Yes.
Beg your pardon? Yes.
Yes. No, look.
No. You see, what you don't understand, Kirby, is that a lunchbox is a euphemism for.
Yeah. All right. Never mind. We'll move on. Yeah, right then. Thank you, Andy. Yes. Right.
Okay. What is it? It's a box that he has his lunch in.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Never mind. It's a box he has his lunch in, and it comes. Oh,
so
God,
what should I call it?
A lunchbox. Just leave it. Right then. So
when he comes inside the pub, which they filmed 2 weeks later,
he hasn't got the lunchbox.
He forgot the prop.
Okay, right. So
practically every one of these extras has either been in Doctor Who before, or is about to be in more things. The young woman who sits down at the one table is going to be in the next story as one of the Sisterhood.
Okay, can I get on there?
Maybe.
Oh God! Right. So the Doctor and Sarah
stop farting, Adam.
Go. Hang on, the doctor gives Sarah the TARDIS key, which she tucks into a boob pocket, and then they sort of come out into the pub and have a chat with some of the clientele, who are not very friendly. That's Sarah, and then Sarah sort of goes out and hides and
Nobody questions why she's hiding in a sort of, you know, what must be a storeroom as well.
Well, she didn't hide in the store. She hasn't got to the storeroom yet. She's come out of the storeroom. Beg your pardon. And she got, basically, the doctor goes to what is the current unit HQ type place.
No, this isn't unit.
Shut up. The unit are there. So essentially, it's a unit HQ type place.
Yes,
that
doesn't make
place.
Sense. Unit and, should not be in a space thing like this.
Yeah, and Brigadier's got his own office, so the unit are there. It is being used as a HQ for unit. So that's for me.
And,
my bell's not working.
Since this is all based on what's-his-face's memories from 2 years before, really? Unit was it based in this place 2 years before? And they've actually been there all this time? What about all these other unit stories that we've been dealing with?
Kirby, are you actually trying to make sense of this story?
No!
Well, clearly he is. Anyway, right. So
nothing
the doctor.
In this story makes sense.
Sarah goes back to the TARDIS, and then she finds a pod nearby, and the TARDIS dematerializes. Inside the pod is somebody grabs her. This strange man grabs her by the throat. In fact,
Master.
Yes.
Yes. This particular extra not only is in the pod; he's one of the four. Motorcycle helmeted guys, and he's also one of the pub people, and he's in this about four or five different. Oh, he's also a unit guy. They reused him quite a bit in the same story.
Splendid. Right. Right. So then we meet what's his name? The space person with the eye patch.
Guy Crayford.
Crayford, that's it, who's hiding in one of the offices. The doctor has a poke around, finds the Brigadier's office, and then gets a gun pointed at him, and there's a very funny scene between Crayford and the doctor.
Yes.
Then he tries to leg it in typical doctor fashion by sort of distracting Crayford by. What did he do? Did he just run? I think he just runs, doesn't he? I can't remember what he does now. I'm just going to watch this scene.
Doctor?
Oh, he flips the table over. The desk, sorry.
Yes.
And then legs it. Climbing onto the roof. And the doctor then gets caught by a couple of pointy people. Sarah follows secretly behind. And then the doctor gets locked. Shut up! The doctor gets locked in a room, which is essentially a cell. You what? Now what?
The guys... The androids with the gun fingers, if you will observe closely during all the interior scenes, when they filmed the exterior scenes, obviously, first, there are no gun fingers at all on interior scenes. They have those are fully articulated index fingers with no obvious signs of guns.
Oh, dear. Right, anyway. So, and then right, that episode ends with a shot of one of the very bad masks from Alien Masks poking through a hole in the wall.
Stigron.
Yeah, Stigron. Used to contain a intercom. Anyway, so the next, that was not the best of cliffhangers, to be fair. So.
It's not the best of stories.
Shut
up. It was awful.
So, yes, what else do we have? The next scene is the interaction between Crayford, the world's stupidest man, and Stigron. And while the Doctor and Sarah hide away.
The world's stupidest man, right?
And then, that's right, what happens? Then the Doctor and Sarah. Oh, yeah, they end up with a gun pointed at them. Who points the gun at them? Oh, it's Benton! Benton points the gun at the Doctor and Sarah, because it's not Benton, it's Android Benton.
This is such a letdown that it's the last Benton story, the last Harry story, and
yeah, whatever. So anyway, so again they leg it, and I think Sarah at some point hurts her ankle, but they didn't use the magic water cloth thing that they'd done in the past in Doctor Who. There's some dogs.
Doctor Who ladies like to twist their ankles.
Yeah, but there's some dogs. There's some dogs with
some magic water.
Shut up! There's some dogs with android soldiers. Now, are these android dogs or real dogs? I wonder.
I think they're androids.
Yeah, it must be androids.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, where Sarah's hurt her ankle, the doctor hoiks her up a tree and then leaves Sarah's sort of scarf for to distract the dogs. But Sarah stupidly jumps out of the tree, and that's the last we see of her for a bit, because she gets captured by Harry. Android Harry. Wasn't it nice to see Harry back? Well, until you realised it's not really Harry. Oh, it's gone quiet again. When I said shut up, it was
You want me to be...
Harry as an alien being threatening Sarah. What a surprise. Something different.
And the other thing that was quite annoying about these things, when Sarah's strapped down, and whoever it was, she strapped down on that table, there was that noise, which was very irritating. I think it was meant to be. The Doctor, meanwhile, goes back to the pub and...
What about... You missed something.
What?
The Doctor decided, instead of having Terry Walsh do his stunt, decided to go in the water himself. He made himself quite ill.
Yeah, he did, yes. And that's why his voice goes a bit funny when he's the android and says, "Come, we have much to do."
Yes.
Later on. Yeah, so he goes back to the pub and has a game of darts, because the dartboard is, in fact, a bit like Terror of the Zygons. It's the bug that...
What I want to know, though, is why would the Krolls need to spy on the androids? I mean, what are they looking for in the pub that, you know, would be something other than what they put there?
Mary?
Yes?
You just asked me if I was trying to make sense of this.
I'm just thinking, what's the point of this?
you can't ask me that question.
Be quiet. Right. Anyway, excuse me. Lillian Robin says, almost missed watching you guys. That could actually be determined to be quite a good thing, Lillian. Right, then, move back to this one. Where do we go? So, there's stuff going on in the pub.
Ian Kirk wants to know, how do android dogs smell?
Bad.
Very badly.
So the Doctor starts taking the dates off the calendar, and they're all the same date. And what date was it, everybody?
June the 6th.
Right. No, that would have been wrong. It would have been July the 6th.
Yeah, I was going to say June. Where did June come from?
Right. So
it's before July.
Are we? Did I hear you say we're not having a quiz?
We're not having a quiz. I've not time. I've got a 4 a.m. start tomorrow morning, so no.
And I studied.
Oh, dear. How sad. Never mind. Right then. So the Doctor gets a phone call in the pub, which he immediately thinks is a bit suspicious. You can tell, because he tried the phone straight afterwards, and I think from that point he knows that it's not actually Sarah. That and why would Sarah phone him up at the pub anyway? So there you go. So he goes off to find what she knows to be Android Sarah, and what I loved about that was Faster. Some of the what?
Yeah, the whole business with identifying her as an android, the Doctor does with the scarf.
Yes,
when she was duplicated. He had the scarf anyway, so how did they duplicate a scarf that they didn't know that she had?
Okay, Kirby, now it's my turn to pick on you.
Please do.
I think we're going to be trading these little does this make sense things back and forth.
Anyway. Science fiction fantasy TV show. Right then. So there's a scene in which the Doctor and Sarah, Android Sarah, are hiding in a shop, and there's a lovely poster on the window of I remember from my childhood, of the cheeses, the British cheeses, which you won't know, won't have spotted.
So but I thought that the shop had, like, my name above the door, too.
It did, yes. But
I noticed that as well.
Gloss over that fact.
Yes.
So... Then there's a point at which Crayford's been strapped down to Stigran's little table and has to go through the sort of thing. And then they make a perfect, out of Crayford's mind, apparently the perfect android.
He's evil, totally evil.
Yeah, yeah. But why?
I don't know. You tell me why.
Stop it, Kirby. Stop it.
I've got an itchy shoulder. I'm just going to show it.
But I want to know, what I want to know is... Do you think maybe Russell T. Davies was inspired by this story for his Aliens of London pigs? Because that's what these look like.
don't know.
They look more like rhinoceroses.
I don't know. They look pretty piggy to me.
Piggy? Definitely rhinoceroses.
Piggy.
Piggies aren't grey. Anyway, Ian Kirk says, how do android dogs smell?
Awful. We've done that already.
Yeah,
that.
And then Laurie Nick says, dunno, but they dream of electrical sheep.
I love that.
Sheep to herd.
Oh, I love that. Good job, Laurie.
Yes, indeed. Right, so... and then the Doctor and Sarah eventually arrive in the middle of the wood, and then the Doctor lets Android Sarah, know that he knows it's not really her. And then they have a little fight with a gun, and she rolls over and her face falls off.
Of course.
Why?
Why? Cause
yeah, why does it fall off?
Because they didn't stick it on properly in the first place.
Why?
Because then we know that Sarah's an android, even though we've already known for the last 20 minutes. Right, so real Sarah.
And it was a standard face thing, like they had it in like the $6 Million Man and Westworld. It's always the face.
Well, sorry about that, Kirby. Anyway, so real Sarah is currently in the spaceship and sort of rather groggily gets up while... the Doctor ends up back in the village again. So lots of backs and forwards to the village. Then he gets caught by Stigran by the throat, and then there's another funny scene.
Rover got him.
Oh, was it? Sorry. There was another funny scene in which gets tied to a sort of cenotaph type thing, an obelisk in the middle of the square.
It's a war memorial.
Yeah, a war memorial. Thank you. Which is still there, by the way, if anybody wants to go to that particular place. And then
I'm actually just looking at it online about the locations, and the post office is now a private house. Because, like I said, it's actually not too far away from where I live. So I might go there.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Not unless I really didn't have anything to do. Beg your pardon, Kirby?
I'd like to see pictures of that he takes there.
Well, have a look at the DVD extras, and then you can see Nick Briggs there not too long ago. Anyway, right, so the Doctor's tied via this unbreakable vines, and we have this obligatory bomb that we can see the time display on. Sarah tries to undo the vines and can't do it until she's got to...
they're plastic.
She can't cut through them without using the sonic screwdriver. Fortunately, the Doctor, when he says set the sonic screwdriver to whatever it is, beta, was it, or something like that, and she knew how to do that, and they just about get onto the spaceship just before everything gets blown to smithereens.
Which, of course, begs the question of why would they want to destroy a village on a planet that they're leaving anyway?
Right.
Just for the sake of doing it, and some people
just to do it. Yeah, just to do it.
And also, what's the whole point of the android invasion itself if they've got this super poisons virus, whatever it is, that's going to destroy everyone anyway? So why go through this elaborate ruse?
Weren't they supposed to be populating the planet with all androids? I don't know. But the fact that, to answer the question about the blowing it up, well, some people like blowing stuff up, so. And obviously these aliens are a bit stupid that way, and think, like, oh, wow, we can blow it up, let's do it. So they did.
Master, do you know who the three Krolls are? The three actors?
No, but one of them was on the bonus features.
Yeah, Martin Friend was on the bonus feature, and he was really enthusiastic in the commentary about how he enjoyed working on this. The other two are... standard people, Roy Skelton and Stuart Fell.
Right.
And they built three masks and three costumes, yeah. And it's only one scene where all three of them were in it.
Anyway, Jeff Waddle says, no IQ test for astronauts. No, they're space cadets.
Oh, God.
So the Doctor and Sarah are banged up again, and this time on the spaceship, and... there's another comedy conversation between Crayford and the Doctor, and the evil android is standing there with... Oh, no, it's not the evil android, is it? It's the one who threw himself off the cliff android. It is standing guard just in case the Doctor and Sarah try something. Meanwhile, Android Harry is I think helping to prepare this, like you say, this virus thing. And
does anyone recognize what the little jar that the virus is in started out life as?
No.
It's a Vaseline jar.
A Vaseline jar. Okay.
Look at it.
Marvelous. Right then, so the doctor gets out of the cell and then gets strapped to the table, and then the little machine starts going again, and Sarah finds a way out by sort of blasting some electrical cable at one of the androids. And then we see quite a good shot.
Lucky that electrical cable was going through there, so she could do it. Otherwise, we'd all be dead.
Yeah. And then she saves the doctor by sort of rather luckily pulling the appropriate cable. There's a spaceship that's going to take off, and thankfully another Saturn V has become available to everyone.
Yeah.
And just in the nick of time, the doctor and Sarah gets into one of the pods, and the doctor seems to be sort of seems to have missed out. And then we have Elizabeth Sladen pulling her face tight to the side to make it look like she's undergoing some sort of, G4. I remember that scene from, from when I was a child, actually, the G4 scene in that scene. And it's quite funny when I watched it again many years later, having remembered watching it when it went out. So my picture's frozen on Facebook. Why would that be? How weird is that? I'm not happy with that. My picture has frozen on Facebook. Let's change another thingy. Oh dear, this is not good. Oh dear. Don't tap your microphone, otherwise I'll deduct points for a future episode of the quiz.
Right, I'm not anywhere near my microphone.
All right, we know that is then, don't we? Right, then, just before we have to remind...
Yeah, it was me. It's actually yours, but me,
yeah. I don't even know where my microphone is on my computer.
Following through on the... and it's very annoying, because I've got people watching, and we've got no actual feed going at the moment. Comments, it says... Lillian Robbins says, Bar Di Ching. And then John Davey, friend of the show, says, hey there. And Lillian Robbins says, my review... cheesy fun, it doesn't have to make sense. And Laurie Nick said, woot, it's John. And John Zaliev said, woot to you too. I think Laurie met John in Gallifrey.
Oh, what right. Looks like what Lillian was doing, she was responding to Jeff's Space Cadets joke. She said, Badum Ching.
Ah.
It's Badum Ching is what it is. It's like that. Drum roll thing.
But no, I'm just typing. Going to have to start a new feed on that thread. So we're going to stop there. I'm not on the actual podcast itself, because I've just started episode 4. But I'm just want people to realise that there's going to be a new feed started. Oh, I can hear myself. Isn't that weird? How's that? How come I can hear myself coming through? Right.
I hear you.
Yeah, I hear you.
And I hear you.
No, I just heard myself.
I heard that little moment of echo, but...
Right, so live video. Again, bloody things, honestly. It's technology.
Fortunately, my Alexa down here isn't called Echo.
Will you not say Alexa? You're right. Thanks for God's sake.
Alexa calling. To see which contacts have signed up, go to your Alexa app.
Alexa, shut up. Right, right, there we go. Episode, 373, isn't it? Oh, I'm struggling here. I keep typing wrong because I've got the keyboard hidden behind the microphone. Oh, I put 373. Live. Ah, I can't see the keyboard. L-I-V-E, again. Oh, I'm getting stressed out now. I've got to get a night's sleep.
Okay.
Right, we're back again. Okay. Right, where do we get up to? I do apologise. It seems to happen every time John Davey joins the feed, the thing goes tits up for some reason. So anyway, Sarah
He's
has...
bad luck.
Sorry?
He's bad luck.
Yeah. So the doctor... sort of survives this sort of G-force thing because he's a Time Lord, and then we see the Saturn V a long distance shot of the Saturn V going up into the sky. And yes?
And the thing is, when you see this rocket sitting on the ground, both on whatever the planet is and on Earth, it doesn't look anything like a Saturn V.
Well, that's not Terry Nation's fault. While the Doctor and Sarah are having a natter, a sinister, obvious android doctor peeks out of one of the pods. And, of course, they do eventually land on Earth. And we see some sort of technicians that are a bit like, you know, Kate Kennedy technicians on Earth. Now, the chap with the glasses and the tash, I've seen him in Doctor Who before. I can't think where. Sort of fiddling. And obviously, to make it futuristic, he's using one of those old trim phones from the 1960s.
Oh, that guy, yeah. This is his longest segment he's ever had where he's been able to talk, but he's been in lots and lots of stories.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know I've seen him somewhere else.
Master?
Oh, Kirby?
On the wall behind the desk in the entrance hall and also in that control room. Yeah. There's lots of little button things, little cubes. Those are reused from Space Station Nerva.
Are they? Hadn't noticed, didn't really care. Right, then we meet the real Benton and the real Harry, obviously not for very long, only in this one episode. And, of course, where Nicholas Courtney was not available for this episode.
And the not Brigadier.
Faraday. Very important. Faraday.
He was an awful, wasn't he?
He's sort of like a pompous politician type character that he used to have in the John Pertwee era. And of course,
apparently he specialized in this sort of role. And also, his major role was his mother in the 1968 Avengers season.
Yes.
No, he wasn't a major, he was a general, wasn't he?
Was he? I don't know.
What?
Yeah, it's General Faraday. Major Faraday, General Faraday. Anyway, Laurinex says, I think John flusters the feed. Yes, basically the Facebook feed gets really, really excited when John Davey comes on. So I hope in some ways it seizes again. So that means John's watching the show. Right, so anyway, thank you all the viewers for coming back to the new feed, a new attempt at doing a podcast. Was it actually going right before John came on? It was Kirby's influence on the internet and technology that's had a few issues this week. Or as the BBC woman who presented the FA Cup semi-final draw, this a week. Right, that's for co-presenters, that joke. Right then. So so they're all really pleased themselves because they think they've found Crayford. And I noticed there was a shot of a pod going down, and it was a really tiny pod. It looked like a little peanut going down. It was nothing like the size of the other pods.
And Master?
Yes?
there's the one shot after the pod has apparently landed on Earth. It's just a bunch of smoke coming out from behind a rock.
Yes.
You can tell someone's pushed it.
I saw that scene. I thought it was brilliant. And the Doctor climbs out. And, it's actually not the real Doctor, is it? It's Android Doctor. And there's a scene where we see Crayford, in his spaceship, plans coming to fruition. And then Sarah finds the TARDIS, and we have the sinister-looking... I love the lighting on this shot of the android doctor, showing that
if you notice, the way that they show that he's the android doctor is that they try to close up his jacket. But you can tell the jacket doesn't really fit him because they had to put, like, an extra button thing in there. It's kind of jimmied together.
And also,
it doesn't really close.
It does think, being an actor, he does stuff with his eyes and stuff like that. And then, of course, he shows Sarah the android Sarah, whose hair is perfectly brushed and stuff like that. And he's got his hand in his jacket. Why has he got his hand in his jacket?
Well, Yeah, I don't know. It was never apparent. I thought maybe he was holding something that he was going to reveal.
Yeah, maybe it was a gun that he was going to pull out. But no, he just took his hand out.
Also, you notice that when the doctor gets out of the pod, he's so tall. Tom Baker's so tall, he doesn't really fit. So if you look, his knees are kind of bent.
Oh. These things that I hadn't noticed because I was actually enjoying the story. Anyway.
Enjoy?
Really? You enjoyed that
Shut
story.
Up. I haven't finished yet.
Also, nobody seems to... Another one of these observations. Nobody questions the fact that Crayford's got an eye patch suddenly. Is an eye patch standard
issue?
All
right.
For
shut up. Have we got to that part yet?
No, because he lost because he said when they put him back together again, they missed his eye. That's why he had an eye
patch. No, but the people on Earth don't question the fact that he suddenly has an eye patch.
Right. Shut up.
Aside from what the people on Earth might think, what has he not removed it to wash his face?
Maybe he doesn't wash his face. The old thing's absurd. The old thing is absurd. Just shut up. Right then. Right. So I'm moving on. I've got my thing on me. All right. So, and obviously, Crayford is absolutely delighted he's managed to con everybody he needs to con. And the doctor arrives and tries to sort of just stop the baddies from doing what they are doing, but fails because Benton gets struck over the head, and then Faraday won't listen to him, and then the other android doctor turns up and with a gun, and there's a bit of a face-off between the doctor and the doctor. So the doctor and Sarah
would you call
run
that
off
a paradox?
Again. The doctor and Sarah run off, and we see like that shot you said of the rocket that doesn't look anything like the Saturn V when it's parked in the facility car park. And then the android doctor turns up again, and that confuses android Benton. It's very, very confusing. One minute you've got the android Benton, then you've got the real Benton, then you've got android Harry, and then the real Harry. Then the doctors are all androids or real. It's very confusing. Yes?
Something else confusing. When the doctor confronts the android, not Brigadier, and the android Harry, mm-hmm. and the android doctor comes into the office just before he jumps out the window, he has an android detector in his pocket that he could have used earlier in the story. So
yes.
Why did he use
But did
it?
The other the other doctor have a person detector in his pocket?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, will you stop messing around your microphone, or I'll set the dog on you. Magic, get rid of those teeth. Right then. Right. So then the doctor has a conversation with Crayford. Said, "Well, what? You know, he has nothing wrong with your eye, Crayford. Why don't you take your eye patch off for a change? And you know, you'll see you've got a perfectly good eye." There's another scrap between the doctor and the doctor. And that's right. Harry and are locked up on the rocket. And the doctor,
I almost thought I was watching a John Pertwee episode. The way they were, you know, fighting with one another and falling over things and attacking each other.
Yeah. And then Sarah and Harry and what's his name, Benton, think they're done in because the doctor's managed to freeze all the androids by pressing this button on the main panel of the space station thingy. Stigron whacks his face in a load of gunge and it all goes all green. The doctor's sort of killed.
Master?
What?
That's the virus which is supposed to kill
all
of humanity.
I know it's the bloody virus. I was just being facetious.
No. The thing is that why isn't it killing all of humanity?
Yes, of course. That's a very good point. Yes, I did think of that at the time. All right, so the doctor's dead, but it's not. It's the android. But even though it couldn't have been the android because the doctor switched on the panel that froze all the androids. So the real doctor turns up and said, "Don't cry for him because he's an android, Sarah." And then they all leave. Sarah thinks about going home.
He switched off all the androids. How do we have an android doctor?
I just said that. For goodness
sake. No, the doctor said that he reprogrammed it.
In 2 minutes?
He's
anyway,
the doctor.
Lillian Robin says, "Too late for me to make a paradox joke. Darn it." Don't bother, Lillian, honestly. I have to do that joke every single time there's a duplicate Doctor story, and that happens quite a lot in Doctor Who. Right then, let's talk about... I'm going to say what I think about the android evasion. It's, you know, as far as, you know, plot hole silliness and things to think of in regards to how stupid some of the, you know, incidences and confusion of various things that happen in the story. It's actually quite an engaging, I'm not going to call it a story because it, I suppose it is a story, but it's very engaging because of the acting of the main characters and the story. And you know, some of the comedy is quite good. It's nice to see Harry and Benson back, although, you know, if we'd known that was going to be their last ones at the time, we probably would have cried. But I don't know how it works for me that I actually quite enjoy this one, because I'm watching it and think, oh, that doesn't work, that doesn't make sense, oh, that's stupid. But I still watch it with great enthusiasm and enjoy watching it. I struggle to call it a story because it's just a bit of a parody of something or other. It just, I don't know what it is. But it's okay for me. I know it's, you know, as a piece of writing, it's, you know. But when I see that, you know, it's, I think it's Barry Letts directed the story, and that holds a place in my heart. Barry Letts back in Doctor Who, and Terry Nation writing a non-Dalek story, it was nice, you know, because obviously he's had a big impact on the history of Doctor Who as well. So I liked the unit aspects, even though they weren't real. I thought that the Stigran sort of type aliens were a bit appalling. At one point, one of them's got his back to the camera, and you can see the base of the back of his sort of mask, which was very distracting. But I don't really mind that. I wouldn't say I'd never watch it because it's that bad. I just find certain aspects of it really quite interesting to watch. Don't know if that's for the right reasons, because obviously most of the time people watch stories because they happen to be quite good. But and this has happened quite recently, we watched a story which wasn't particularly good, but I find it to be quite interesting to watch. Where we've watched stories that are very good, which I find quite boring to watch. I might say certain aspects of Genesis of the Daleks, maybe only because it might be a bit too long. So I don't know how that works with me, how I don't mind watching it when I know full well it's actually quite bad. That doesn't work when I watch, or am going to watch, Curse of the Black Spot. Although that the woman who plays the siren, I'll probably be quite engaged with her because she's quite a well-known and successful actress now. But yes, I've rambled on about this a little bit because I'm a bit confused as to why I quite like it, because I shouldn't. What do you think of it, Kirby?
Ah, okay. I didn't have a chance to go back and check my 1980 calendar to see if I saw this one.
Thank goodness for that.
I have a vague memory, but boy, did I really repress it, because watching it 2 weeks ago was really the first time I'd seen it, and I was appalled. This is horrible. The weird thing is that it's got some fantastic jokes and some fantastic quotes. I had a good 7-8 quotes that I could have used if I had been on time. And I tried saying them earlier. I won't say them again. But I was appalled. This was horrible. Terry Nation, is this the last Terry Nation story?
I think it is.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, okay.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Thank you. Destiny of the Daleks.
Destiny of the Daleks. And oddly, I know a lot of people don't like Destiny of the Daleks. I like Destiny of the Daleks. I'll discuss that more when we get there.
Good.
But I don't know what they were thinking. I might watch it again if I really want a good laugh.
I don't think that it came out quite how they meant it to, for budgetary reasons.
I think that I would rather watch almost any other Doctor Who. And when we finish all this, this is going to go close to the bottom for me when we reevaluate stories, because I assume we're going to do that again eventually. Yeah.
Well, so Twin Dilemma is going to be above this, then, is it?
Possibly. Mm. Very possibly. Oh, by the way, other thing, Milton Johns, who was, what character
Crayford?
Was he?
Crayford?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, Crayford. He's been in, He was Binnick in Enemy of the World, yes. And he will be Castle on Kellner in yes. Invasion of Time.
Yes, he will, yes. He's a Doctor Who stalwart. But yes. Yeah, carrying on, have you finished now?
He's only had three stories.
Have you finished?
Pretty awful stories. Pretty awful character.
Okay, if you finished, Kirby, then you can take over.
Yes,
then, Andy.
I have finished.
Go on then, Andy.
Terrible.
I mean, it really was. This was pretty awful. I mean, it just was badly written, badly acted.
I wouldn't say it was badly acted.
Thing, the whole thing about
Craven and his eye patch, I mean, it's like, he never took his eye patch, you know, he washed his face, he had a shave, didn't take his eye patch off. He didn't notice that out of his left eye, he was sort of getting some dark light coming through. And it just... Why did they blow the planets up? Their invasion plan doesn't make sense. This just really was pretty blooming awful. You know, I just didn't, you know, as Kirby said, you know, I will not be rewatching this. I think I'll be letting this one go by. You know, it's be one sort of a, if I'm really desperate, I might watch it. But nah, this is poor. And it's just, it's sad the fact this is the last, in a way, the last unit story. I just wonder, you know, would. If Nicholas Courtney had been in it, would he have made a difference to it? Obviously, with not Molesworth, what was it? Faraday. I mean, Faraday was just such a pastiche of the typical arsehole soldier. It was awful. It really was absolutely awful. This will be, like, say, down there with the. The Peter Davison one with the Solarians in. Down there with one of those.
With the white?
I think he said the Silurians one. I think he's talking about the. I can't remember what it's called now. It's the one with the Silurians and the Sea Devils in the Peter Davison story.
The one with the Panther
Warriors
horse?
Of the Deep.
Yeah, that's the one, the Murka.
The one with Rent-A-Ghost in it.
Memory. It is so awful. And that's what this is as well.
When we get to that one, I've not seen it, so I'm looking.
Oh, Kirby, please do yourself a favor, mate. Don't.
Right.
Well, we have to.
So that's points deducted. I'm going to make another. That's 3 points deducted for Andy for the next edition of the quiz, advising one of my co-presenters not to watch a story they have to watch to remain part of the journey.
I'll make a note of that then. I love you too.
3 points deducted. And there we go. That's there. I've said it's right by my monitor. I can't forget that now. Right then. have you finished, Andy?
Yeah, that's it. I just couldn't go any further.
So did you like it?
Oh, I loved it. It was one of the most amazing experiences of my life.
Debbie's never been able to join us.
It's rather frustrating because we did have a few issues with the DVD when I realised I'd given her the wrong one when I gave her the UK copy and not the Australian copy, so I had to get the thing swapped over. But I did give her the Australian copy and she assured me she'd be able to watch it. It's just a bit annoying that we went through all that and all the trouble she's had getting back to Britain to watch it in time, and then she can't appear on the show because she's got computer equipment akin to yours, Kirby.
Oh, she's been on this holiday.
You just activated my Alexa. Thanks. Computer.
Karma.
Computer, cancel.
Right, Alan T. Butcher says, the twin dilemma is a tightly plotted masterpiece compared to this. And then he says, there should have been an A. They should have been a better way. Maybe. I don't know. Right then. I almost forgot what I was going to do, though. We do want to get Debbie on the show somehow. Maybe we should phone her up. But the trouble is, I haven't got any Skype credit. How am I going to do that? No one's answering me. Right then, so I've got to play this piece of music when I can find it. There it is. Go on then, Mary.
Well, I don't know how I can compete with what everybody else had to say.
Yeah.
although I don't agree with everything everybody had to say. But the one thing I wonder about is, I just wonder if this was kind of a rushed script. If maybe Terry Nation, you know, being, you know, the kind of go-to guy that he's reportedly to have been in the Doctor Who writing room, I just wonder if, you know, he was overwhelmed by what he had to do, because this whole story is nothing but recycled things, recycled stories, because we've already seen people being replaced by Zygons. And we've already seen, like in the, what is it, the invasion of the body snatchers, you know, people coming out of pods, you know, that are not themselves. He even recycles people, you know, with Harry and, well, should have been Colonel Stewart, but, you know, we didn't get him, but we did get Benton. And that, I mean, we're just bringing back all these stories, all these old characters to kind of mix them up in a, I don't know, you guys all say it was a horrible mess, but maybe he just did the best he could with limited resources. Because, and I did, like I said earlier, I half expected a Dalek to rise out of the mud or something at the end of episode one, because, you know, that's a typical Terry Nation thing. But he did reveal, you know, a monster at the end of that episode. Now, I have to say that the first episode was pretty engaging because it was really creepy with the empty village and, you know, and all the androids coming to life at the same moment, you know, so that they look like normal people. And that I was really pulled in for that, you know, but then all rationale kind of went out the window after that episode, and things just were so ill thought through, you know, that we have all these terrible plot holes. But like you, Adam, you know, as flawed as this thing is, I found it strangely engaging.
Yeah.
And maybe because it was so full of things to kind of laugh at or, you know, be confused by and all that, that and I certainly wouldn't put it at the bottom of a list because I was never bored. I was never feeling like, oh my goodness, this episode is just dragging things out like I do with so many other stories. So each episode did engage me for, you know, not necessarily good reasons, but yeah, I would definitely not put this at the bottom. But what I find interesting too is that if you think back over all that you've read or all that you've heard about Doctor Who, there really is no one that like refers to this episode. Nobody takes anything away from this episode as a classic, you know, moment or anything. It's kind of a forgotten episode, and I think that it, you know, for good reason. But like none of us, except maybe you, Adam, have seen this one before. So we came to it fresh. And I think that, Kirby, you had said last time that you had not seen this one. And there's a reason, you know, it's just kind of one of the things, it's like a black hole. It just kind of drops out of the stories for good reason. But anyway, so no, I didn't absolutely hate it. I enjoyed watching it, but I would never recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's a thing for Doctor Who fans, isn't it?
I'd seen the little clip of her face falling off, of course. Everyone's seen that.
Similar sort of thing happens in that. The Androids of Tara, funny enough. Anyway, have you done, Mary?
I am done.
Okay. Lillian Robin says, I agree with Mary.
Oh, yay, Lillian.
Okay, haven't had an answer back from dear Alan. Right, okay, he has answered me. I think by way of punishment for delaying the start of the show.
I think were we delayed?
Yes, we were delayed. Well, we sort of delayed starting and then delayed furthermore by yourself when the show actually was running, when you started talking about technical stuff that had no bearing on what we were trying to achieve with the podcast. So therefore, by decree of Alan T. Butcher, a little package has just arrived via Facebook Messenger, and you will work out from that what
for
you
who?
Have
to. Not me.
Yes, you.
Oh no.
Serves you see. Right.
I don't even have Facebook open.
Oh, here we go. Joshua Dyball says, I agree with Mary too. A good summary. More or less what I said, though, Joshua.
Gosh,
to be fair.
Thanks, Joshua.
Oh, okay,
I say
here
these
we go.
Things, she says it, and she gets all the credit. Oh.
How can I make this bigger?
That's what she said.
All right. Are we ready for Alan?
Don't get on with it.
The risk assessment of the Krolls or the Centauran experiment writ large. Dear 20 megabiters, the android invasion is, of course, a closely studied examination of modern management practice. Risk assessments and specialization and demarcation In doing so, it also hints heavily at the low levels of competence, the overcautiousness, and sometimes outright ineptitude that can often become an encumbrance. Obviously, the whole crawl exercise is an extraordinarily overly elaborate risk assessment for the planned invasion of Earth. The relationship between Stigron, technical, Chidaki, operational strategy, and Crayford, worker, is instructive. Stigron has a lot of ability, but which is not well utilized or directed under his own control. Chidaki is far from an inspirational leader and not fully grasped of his plan of action. Their fractious interactions serve to intensify their incapacity. Crayford is, of course, given sight of no more than half the full picture. And is manipulated and unvalued. It should be noted that although some might suggest that nobody could possibly fail to realize that they could actually see underneath an eye patch, well, I'll explain later. We also learned that Nestor the Invisible Spiridonian did survive to take on a military row under the name of Chidaki. Also, the hapless Kesslon Kellner of Gallifrey was presumably working undercover here for the Celestial Intervention Agency as Crayford before going on some years later to carve out a position under Salamander as Binnick to investigate after a tip-off that he might be the second Doctor in disguise. Gee, I think I've just made that note about that. All in all, the Android Invasion is perhaps surprisingly entertaining despite the plot being pretty ridiculous and the collection of story elements being very bizarre and arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
The imagined version of this tale in the first Monk story in the Capaldi era was perhaps no more successful than this was. However, the crawls are charmingly egregious and quarrelsome, and obviously the TARDIS crew never fail to be interesting. It's perhaps 4 minutes too long or one episode too short, as it lacks the crawls' post-assessment review and post-mortem on how the project worked out in evaluating the lessons learned vis-a-vis anticipated projected outcomes. Next up, Doctor Who and the Morbius trip.
Was that it?
What?
Doctor Who and the Morbius
Doctor
trip.
Doctor and Morbius trip.
Can I lease a new condo?
Oh, okay.
Those are my thoughts on Alan T. Butcher.
Alan T. Butcher.
Yes. Right then. It's just as well that Ian Kirk has dispatched his script for his audio feedback, because unfortunately the audio feedback hasn't actually arrived. So I don't know how we're going to that particular issue.
So maybe you could add it in post.
Beg your pardon?
You could add it in post-production.
I could do that, but more fun would be to make Mary read it. Go, Mary.
Okay.
Hang on, Mary. Hang on before you start. Hang on. I must play this. And you've got to try and emulate Ian's. Here we go.
Hello, 20 megabyte. This is... Oh, no, this is Billy Kirk.
Billy Kirk?
Oh, no, it's
Ian.
Okay.
Ian Kirk.
Hello, megabyte. This is Ian Kirk. Where's the caps lock key? Oh, there it is. Never mind. Billy Kirk does not have a Yorkshire accent. Someone said it on the left.
Billy Kirk writes.
I can't do him at all. The Android Invasion by Terry Nation. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, as it might have been done by John Steed and Mrs. Peel in the old UK Avengers TV series.
Audio clip.
Yeah, we're not going to get the audio clip.
That's the there was another version of the Avengers TV theme, wasn't there? Never mind, carry on. I was thinking
the
new Avengers.
The coins were all dated the same year. To maintain the unit dating controversy, Sarah avoids saying which year.
I noticed that.
Yeah, I was wondering if she would ask. Even where there is no TARDIS, there is still translation of what the Krells say. It is a fantasy TV series, yeah. Radiation will cause the Krell planet to become Radiation will cause the Krell planet to become uninhabitable.
That's the word.
Doctor Who is on the ecology disaster bandwagon. I left in the mess this time. It happens a lot. Guy Crayford is a British astronaut who everyone thinks is dead, but it turns out he survived. In the film The Martian, Mark Watney is an American astronaut who everyone thinks is dead, but it turns out he survived. Crayford is not a patch. In close-up, the lid of the doctor's landing pod is on his left. In the view from further away, it is gone. Faraday, in charge of the base, was a replacement for the Brigadier due to Nicholas Courtney having a previous commitment.
Yes.
Now, I also
I heard in the commentary that they tried twice to bring Nick Courtney back, and he was always never available. I guess he was in Peru.
Right.
Oh,
Shall we hear what it's supposed to sound like?
Sure.
Hello, Something About Podcasts. This is in Kirk. Billy Kirkbride does not have a Yorkshire accent. The Android Invasion by Terry Nation. Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
I got the music right.
It might have been done by John Steed and Mrs. Peel in the old UK TV Avengers series. The coins are all dated the same year. To maintain the unit dating controversy, Sarah avoids saying which year. Even where there is no TARDIS, there is still translation in what the Krolls say. It is a fantasy TV series.
Mm.
Radiation will cause the Krall planet to become an... Radiation will cause the Krall planet to become uninhabitable. Doctor Who was on the ecology disaster bandwagon. Guy Crayford is a British astronaut who everyone thinks is dead, but it turns out he survives. In the film The Martian, Mark Watney is an American astronaut who everyone thinks is dead, but it turns out he survived. Crayford is not a patch on Watney.
Oh dear.
In close up, the lid of the Doctor's landing pod is on his left. And the view from further away, it is gone. Faraday, in charge of the base, was a replacement for the Brigadier, due to Nicholas Courtney having a previous commitment. Bye for now.
Thank you. I don't know, I think, who did that better? Oh, I suppose Ian did it.
Oh, he did that much better than I did.
Oh, yeah.
Well, good effort, though, Mary.
More authentic accents.
I get that special nasal
quality. I don't know what accent you were trying, but it was very funny.
Yeah. Billy's actually from Exeter.
Beg your pardon? Billy's what?
Billy Kirkbride. He's from Exeter. And though he's been out in Australia for 40 years, he's not lost his accent.
No, right. Yes, no, he hasn't. Right. Joshua Dyball says, a credit to you too, Adam. I should hope so too. And then Ian Kirk said, try to send audio again. Now, we don't want to hear it a third time, Ian, but thanks anyway. Right then. What?
By the way, did anyone see the picture I posted of the Sunday Times magazine cover? Because they've got an interview with Jodie Whittaker.
No, didn't see that, no.
All right, okay. Well, in that case, I mean, you can't get it online. I'll try and post that myself. I can scan it.
So did anybody get a chance to see Say Yes, yeah, it is. Say Yes to the Rest UK Series 2, Episode 17, I believe, is it? Or was it the other way around? Series 17, Episode 2. The one that I was on, did anybody see that?
No, when I tried, and I know how to get British programming, it just wouldn't let me, so I had to resort to signing on to TLC, which would only show me season one. Ah. So I guess I'm going to have to wait for season two to come around.
It will come eventually. But anyway, right. Doctor Master. Who News.
Master?
Oh, what?
Well, I you said what before, and then you wouldn't let me say it.
Oh,
anyway,
what?
I just pulled out my 1981 calendar. April 1981.
Yes.
April the 12th, Sunday, April the 12th.
Yes.
I took my bike to be fixed. Doctor Who Android Invasion recorded. That means I recorded the audio onto reel-to-reel tape.
Yes.
So I must have seen it.
You must have done.
I also saw Star Wars A New Hope for the 23rd time that day.
Marvelous. How fascinating. Right then. Okay. The season 12 collector's edition Blu-ray. This is Doctor Who News, by the way. I was trying to say that before I got interrupted. Collector's edition Blu-ray announced. So apparently, I think it's in America, not in Britain. I may be wrong. That series or season 12 is going to be released on a Blu-ray. So there you go.
What show did you say?
Series 12 of Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That'd be what Pertwee's last season?
No, it says BBC Worldwide has announced that Tom Baker's first season as a Doctor.
Yes, Tom Baker's first season.
Oh, yes, you're right. No, you're quite right. Sorry, I missed that. Yeah.
Doctor Who magazine.
They have said that it's going to be released in America as well.
Oh, I see. I thought they meant it was only being released in America. Doctor Who magazine episode series, issue 523 has the new design logo, which still one of the other podcasts has changed their logo, and because they put those little lines through some of the letters, it changes the way their logo looks. I can't remember what it was now, but it made me laugh. Right, Dora Niradzic, is that how I spell it? Niradzic, 1949 to 2018. She was a makeup designer. Only 68. Bloody hell. She's passed away. And Doctor Who audio recordings archived. Graham Strong, the man responsible for the survival of many high quality audio recordings from missing Doctor Who episodes, has donated his collection to Mark Ayres of the Doctor Who restoration team in order to be properly archived. New Who Talk commentaries. Yes,
if you read that article, it says he made his recordings via a basic crystal microphone hanging over the television speaker with a plant pot placed on top of the TV to keep the microphone in place. That's exactly what I was doing.
Why does that not surprise me, Kirby? New Who Talk commentaries. Phantom Publishing is releasing two new commentaries in their Who Talk series. The series begins series brings cast and crew together to provide an alternative commentary to the officially released Doctor Who stories, which they tend to do on DVD anyway. Ken Dodd has passed away. He was 90 years old.
90, yeah.
Yes. Comedy legend, singer. Not that much known for his acting, but he was indeed. He did have a cameo as the Tollmaster in Delta and the Bannermen. So his place in Doctor Who history is
and Adam, you and I seem to be the only two people I know who like Delta and the Bannermen.
Yeah, that's so true. But it's not Ken Dodd's fault that anybody doesn't like Delta and the Bannermen, to be fair. But so, yes, another one of those legends that we seem to be losing quite a lot of recently, along with Bruce Forsyth and a few others. Of course, Bruce Forsyth was never in Doctor Who, but I just sort of mentioned him anyway because he's a bit of a ledge. And of course, Bruce Forsyth was in that ilk, that sort of age of entertainer that Ken Dodd was. But there you go. So that's Doctor Who news. I'm not going to go down the sponsorship road this week because I'm trying to save time. And we still
Whowon.co.uk.
Yeah, and Lavazza, but I'm not going to talk about them that much. Lavazza.
I have to say it.
They're wonderful always. Establishments, everybody. That's all I'm going to say on the matter. Get your Doctor Who merchandise from Whowon.co.uk and get your Doctor Who scarves from Lavazza.co.uk. And that's all I'm going to say on the issue this week. Right, next week, I do think I have actually got time to record just about next Sunday. The clocks go forward, so we lose an hour of sleep on Saturday night.
So we get back in sync.
Sort of, but I mean, like at the moment, this time next week, instead of being 8:24 in the evening, it'll be 9:24 in the evening. So we should have well finished by now. So you should have to start an hour earlier.
Except it won't seem that way.
No,
so
true.
We're talking what day? The 25th.
25th of March, which is the day after a wedding and getting very close to my week off, which is great.
I may or may not be able to join. I'll know in a couple of days.
Oh, good. I'll keep my fingers crossed then.
I may have to go out of town. We'll see.
Okay.
And I'll be on call, so I don't know either. I can't predict.
Well, if Debbie can turn up for the show, we'll be talking about her thoughts on Android Invasion, because I don't think she's seen it before anyway. So remind me of this if I forget. And, of course, mainly...
Next time it's Brain and Morbius, right?
I was just about right. Point deduction. I was about to say that. Allow me to do my own link. So you might look at my pen. Point deduction for Kirby.
Well, my point was that it's one we've done before. So
Oh, good. That means I might already have questions on it. But yes, it's Brain of Morbius next week, everybody.
Yay!
Which we have already done.
We get to do a good one.
I beg your pardon? Point to Dr. Kirby for reviewing the story before we'd actually... points.
I said it last time we did this one.
3 points deducted for... I'm only joking. let's see if anybody's left any further comments on the Facebook feed before I wrap up. Right, we've got... brilliant. Thank you, Ian Kirk. We can't possibly finish the show. And they should have had it on that Doctor Who feed, even though he's never been in Doctor Who. Stephen Hawking passed away this week. I mean, how can we not talk about this? Well, go on then. Stephen Hawking. Amazing.
Astounding, yes.
Yes.
Marvelous.
The sort of inspiration of many modern sort of aspects of science fiction. So I don't think science fiction would be the same if it weren't for the theories and the books and the writings and the intelligence and everything that Stephen Hawking stood for.
I will post a video I saw yesterday on YouTube showing his major appearances in modern TV things where he's like his Big Bang Theory stuff and his Simpsons and
Star Trek Next
all
Generation.
That. It's a great little video.
Yeah, and he was a great man. And yes. Very sad, but I mean, in a way, it's a release for him because to live with the condition he had for all those years when they obviously thought he was going to die after a couple
amazing.
Of years. It was amazing. That just shows his will to live and what an amazing man he was. But yes, thanks to him, space and physics and all that sort of stuff is very, very exciting. And also, I think Big Bang Theory is a massive thanks to him for that series. Because I know he didn't write it or anything, but if it weren't for him, there really wouldn't be a Big Bang Theory because he was the inspiration of all that. Or a lot of people going into being physicists, scientists, or whatever like that, because he made science to be quite a trendy and interesting thing for people. So, Laurie Nick says, can't wait for you all to crash land on Khan. No, this isn't the Eighth Doctor story, nor is. Oh, I see. Yes, it was.
And,
and Alan T. Butcher said Hawking proved that Omega would eventually be returned to our universe as radiation. And now there's all these other things that they haven't really explored in science fiction, but that Stephen Hawking discovered dark matter for one. I always thought dark matter to be sort of bits of time floating around in the universe, and they've never really explored what dark matter could or couldn't be. So always these fascinating things that somebody else is now going to have to look into. What on earth was that noise?
Not me.
Wasn't me either.
Not me.
So
I've lost enough points anyway.
You know you haven't. Actually, Andy's lost the most points this week for next week.
Yeah, so I think I'm definitely not winning next week.
You say that every week, and then what happens?
Yeah, well.
You might get points given back to you. Sometimes you're quite a good boy, Andy.
Oh, happy moments.
So until next week, thank you for persevering with the show. Goodbye.
Bye, y'all.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and Novazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.